Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your presence, and Lord, we're anxious to praise you on the very grounds that the prophet said that his ministry was to declare that you were here, and of course not in the way that many, many people think, and many, many people even now preaching today, who do in a manner recognize that Brother Branham's great message was the presence of yourself, even Jehovah Elohim. But we do thank you, Lord, that we know that to be true, that you are the one that descended with the word to set your church in order, to give us the true and proper revelation, that we might be fed of your hand, because we are sheep of your hand, the flock of your very pasture, Lord. We thank you for that, knowing that you're here also to raise the dead, here also to take away a bride, and our spirit, which is you, Lord, becomes incarnate to us to crown you King and King, Lord of Lord, at the great celebration, the ceremony, the wedding supper. Knowing all things are ours, we appreciate that, and we are participating in it, Lord, and we thank you that you gave the invitation, that you stood at the door and knocked, and the prophet heard and brought us the word of revelation of this hour, the word of our salvation, end time evangelism, all of it wrapped up in this word, Lord, for perfection has come. We recognize that, Father, and we just pray that not only in recognition, because we know that is here, sure as 2 and 2 make 4, and the sun has risen, the sun also setting, Lord, and the sun will rise again, the sun will set again. We're interested, Lord, in the deep, deep revelation which completely turns our hearts and minds and lives around, giving us a spiritual depth and unity with your own soul, so you can have pleasure in our soul even as we have in yours, and a perfect revelation, Lord, a perfect unity. We're asking that tonight for your honor and glory, because we love to honor your name and glorify your name the way you want it done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, just before we continue on number 9, I suppose it is, of the series on stewardship, because I don't get a chance to, or the people who have been so good to us during my wife's sickness, I want the people who hear the tape know that we received the flowers and the cards, and we are very, very grateful, and above all, very grateful for your prayers. Now, I guess I'm a little bit of a nut when it comes, well, not just a little bit of a nut, quite a bit of a nut, when it comes to these weird things that people bring up in the practice of naturopathy and not necessarily homeopathy, more or less more naturopathy than anything else. And they go by various visible signs that the highly professional scientific-minded MDs and what have you simply don't believe in. And I was told many years ago that if you look at the lobe of the ear, either ear, and you see a crease in there, that definitely signifies a heart problem. And before my wife had this other heart attack, which was quite a bad one, I was sort of making a little mockery. I said, hey, you're the one supposed to have the bad heart. You haven't got a crease there at all. And I said, I'm the one with the creases. Well, if you'd have seen her in the hospital when she was there this last time, the ear was just literally folded together in a crease. It is a sign of heart trouble, that's very, very definite. But if you look at her ears now, and I don't really invite you to, the point is you will see very small lines. So the Lord's healing her and helping her, and I'm very happy about that, because although we both have to depart this light pretty soon, if that's the will of the Lord, or we're not supposed to be tarrying here, it's kind of nice to go without too much suffering and all, but she was in very great jeopardy of her life at that particular time, and the Lord really helped her out. She was in intensive care, and they were telling me, well, we're going to keep your wife here a few more days, and she'll give her strength to walk and what have you. And then I was home having a little rest, and our daughter was there, and she phoned, she better come and get mother, because they were dismissing her. She said she's doing just fine, beyond expectation. And so I appreciate everybody's prayers, the flowers, and everything they sent. So I take this opportunity before I bring you the message. Also, I want to say again that we're living in very exciting hours. And I don't know how excited you are, you people here, and you who get the tapes, and those who say they believe this message, to realize that just within the next month, you're going to see, supposed to see, and no doubt will see, the fifth vision come to pass, where people are sitting in a car, not driving. They can do what they want to do, play games, anything they want, and the car will go safely down the road just outside of San Diego. Now, that was in the works, according to the U.S. report, not the magazine, but the U.S. News that comes out 5 days a week. And also Becky Smith put it in her paper, having got the article from Brother Harold Marcondah. I never saw it because we seldom get that paper. But the fact is, you will be seeing vision number 5, which means grace to the Gentiles, positively has run out. Now remember, grace to Israel started when they became a nation. That's under 555. I know people say, well, Brother Vail, the calendar isn't accurate. Hey, what calendar are you going by? You think God's giving us signs and all these things by some calendar we don't know anything about? Brother Branham said the signs in the heavens show before they show upon earth. Well, I don't know. Hey, quit mumbling and grumbling and just get with it. In our calendar, which has been changed, and God would not allow to be changed, we know it's 7 years out. But the fact of the matter is, Israel came under 555, then they foolishly signed a concord with Rome, which was not a concord of anything but, hey, you're all right, I'm all right. Hey, you made a mistake, we made a mistake. Hey, you're great, I'm great, you're great. They've entered into a fellowship union of religion under 666. This is not the concord that's coming up in the middle of the week that's going to be broken. I'm not saying that. But I want you to notice 666. So it's run out now. Grace is run out. You're under 6. And 7 being revelation, it doesn't matter. When is he going to come? That's just part of the seventh seal. Who cares when he comes? What does it matter if the thief comes and the good man stands there with his sawed-off shotgun to blow his head off? The thief will wish he never stuck his head up. You ever heard of a turkey shoot? Years ago, they used to tie the turkey down behind a log. Guy stand there with a gun. Boom, boom, off goes the turkey head if you could get him. If he ducked too sudden, you didn't get him. But see, the turkey never had a chance, like shooting fish in a barrel. In other words, I'm trying to bring it out as plain as I can. If we're ready, what does it matter? Morning, noon, night, in between. That hasn't got a thing to do with it. It's whether you're ready. So what does it matter when he comes? If you miss the appearing, you're going to miss the coming. Scream all you want about the coming. Pray all you want about the coming. Doesn't matter. You missed it. That's where Brother Terry Spro got a couple of black eyes that people didn't understand what he was saying. They figured he's already coming. There's nothing more to it. But he stood the truth, and the truth is this. If you miss that presence, if you miss that appearing, don't talk about the coming. Don't talk about the coming. If you miss half a dozen steps on the ladder, don't pretend you can suddenly reach up and hit number 7 step. I'd like to see anybody try to reach the 7 step of any ladder I've ever seen with all the rungs knocked up with number 7, screaming about the coming of the Lord, and miss the whole thing. Anyway, let's get back to our subject. And our subject is simple. It's a little message again on stewardship, and I'm going to go all the way back again. I'm going to have to kind of start over because I missed a couple of months with you. But we'll catch up here to where we really want to go. And all right, now in our study of stewardship, we have found the very profound principle that though God honors us greatly by entrusting us with gifts and positions that are freely given to us by grace, we are required of Him to be responsible to Him in their usage according to the purposes for which they were given and the manner of their usage as we are using them. Now, for God to deliberately predestinate a people which He has foreknown and then through election, and Brother Branham said election is not I take this one and leave that one, that's ridiculous. Because God will never lose one of His children because each child is a part of Himself. So if you want to see a God that's going around, that's part God and missing something like an arm or a leg, then you can believe in falling away. You can believe in ridiculous doctrine. Be my guest. I'm not here to make you believe anything. I'm simply here to teach, and I love doing it because I help myself and my wife and some of you folk too. So it's all right. Be my guest. But the thing is, people simply do not have a clue as to proper election. See, the election lies in the fact where it is, has to be on the grounds that there's a mixed carrier of serpent seed and the seed of God. It can be in the same human vessel as it was in Isaac, positively, who brought forth two children from the same wife. Now remember, when you go back to the day of Abraham and Sarah, which was Isaac's father and mother, there was no way that Ishmael could, though a child of Abraham, could inherit the kingdom. The wrong woman. It had to be Sarah. So she had to be brought back to where she's about 16, 18 years of age in order to bear that child. And of course, Abraham was brought back to being a youth again in order to be a father. So we're seeing here that God in His goodness didn't only predestinate children or bring forth children. He gave those children an amplitude of those things which were necessary for him to live a vital Christian life and be a vital participant in the things of God, mainly of which was the worship of Almighty God. A special conduct, a special life was there in order to bring this out. Now, when I say that, I want to refer you right back to everything that Brother Branham taught. And Brother Branham taught, encapsulated this. Forget government. Forget politics. Forget everything but religion, because this is religion we're dealing with. And you're dealing from the top down. You're dealing with God, who brought forth the truth and reality, who even had truth and reality in Satan, which we'll bring out and show you, who deliberately allowed iniquity, which is a perverting of the word, to enter in, and thereby Satan wanted leadership to set up his own kingdom and his own church. So the whole thing has to do with religion. Nothing else. Forget your politics. When Brother Branham said, forget communism, it is nothing. It's merely politics. It is not religion. Look at religion. Of course, the world went merrily down the road to hell, and now it's on the Broadway, and there's no turning back. And now how frustrated they are that communism suddenly died. The Berlin Wall came down. Communism fell down. Religion is back in there. And how much talk do you hear now of true evangelism in Russia? You don't hear anything. It's dead, dead, dead the way it was in the beginning. Because let me tell you this. I don't care how many people are in the world and how many people think they're Christians. My Bible still said 8 people made the ark, and that's the way it is today. Now, if you want 15 billion, be my guest. I just got one word to you. I'm not getting in your ark. It's going to sink. It's going to burn up. I want an ark that gets out of here. And it's going to get out of here. So, all right, in our study of stewardship, we found the very profound principle that though God honors us greatly, and remember, to be a steward is a great honor because you're getting something from God. Not only are you a child of God, but you're richly endowed by God. So you receive these gifts from God. He's entrusted other gifts and positions. Not merely gifts, but positions. And not merely positions, but gifts. That's why Brother Branham categorically said that the gifts could be in every church, the true church, and they could have all 9 gifts, and they'd be complementary to the ministry of the pastor or the fivefold ministry. Positions, gifts. See, everything, God entrusting that. And we show you later on in Ephesians 4th chapter how that brings you right into a perfection before the resurrection at the time of it and the time of the rapture. So, okay, He's given us gifts and positions that are freely given to us by grace. We are required of Him to be responsible to Him in their usage according to the purposes for which they were given. And the manner of their use according to how they're to be used. Now, this is where Brother Branham was repudiated the same as Paul. Absolutely repudiated. Here was just a smart type of categorically not well-educated little hillbilly guy born in Kentucky, now in Indiana. A great gift manifested from God. And now he becomes too big for his britches. Now he becomes a guy that doesn't know doctrine. He's a man you listen to when he tells your diseases and certain things that pertain to this life here. But when it comes to the Word, why, he's off. Oh, brother, sister. And the people that said that were using positions of ministries and gifts. And right in the meeting, when he stood up and he said that Demas' Shakarian sister, and her name was Rose. I'm not sure, one of them anyway. She'd be dead by 2 a.m. And somebody rose up and screamed a prophetic utterance. She's my daughter, thy daughter shall live, hallelujah. And they all screamed, and they put Brother Branham down. So Billy Paul came and said, Daddy, what about it? He said, Son, all I know is that God said 2 a.m, watch the clock. She was dead. Did they repent? No, they didn't repent. They didn't intend to repent. And why they were justified and glorified and hallelujahified when Brother Branham got smeared across the road, according to what one guy said. Yeah. That man that judged, now he's judged. Hey, let it sink in. The man that said that had a position in the church. The man that said that had gifts. You know what I'm saying? Let it soak in. Come on, take your time. Get the crud out of your heart that's in there that wants to stop that. Say, yeah, Lee, that's right. I know those guys. I know the preachers of them. I knew them personally. Had conversation with them. See, I'm an old timer. I'm not 82 going on 83 in a hurry for nothing. They said it. I've heard their words. I've seen their words in print. They had gifts. Offices. Prestige. Honor. Influence. Affluence. The whole ball of wax. Now, never ever forget that whenever stewardship comes to mind, so does responsibility. And we instantly think of the fact we will have to account for God for whatever He has given us according to how we employ it and to what end. So let's go to the scripture now. I never leave you hanging in the air with scripture. That would be the most ridiculous thing in the world to tell you what I think. I'm building right here from Scripture. Now we're going to go to the Scripture. So we go to 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I don't care what the man has. It doesn't matter. The point is he faithful? See, that's the big thing. Is he faithful? Now, faithful to whatever God gave him would absolutely mean that he knows what he has and he knows how to use it and he does it reliably because he knows what he has from God and he knows from God how he's supposed to use it. Now, just stop and think for one split second the Pentecostal churches where the women are getting up and down, dancing in the Spirit, clowning around, as it were, speaking in tongues as they were. They think it is, and prophesying, interpreting, and they hope it's so, but in my books it ain't. Now, all of those gifts are genuine. Don't ever say the devil gives the gift of tongues, although he can't speak in tongues. Don't worry, he can do that, all right. And he can prophesy, don't worry. But don't blame anything on the devil for this specific reason, that these gifts come from God, absolutely of Him. They are merely gifts or manifestation of the Holy Spirit and not indicative of the Spirit of God Himself, because it's merely gifts or derivatives of something the Holy Spirit can produce, just the same as God can produce this tie indirectly by the fibers that He put upon earth here. Or God can produce that plant if it's a living plant because He took it out of some seed somewhere. He made that seed. And so the Holy Spirit can produce whatsoever that Holy Spirit, which these things resonant in Him are to do, because that Spirit is God, He'll see that that is produced. But it doesn't mean they got the producer. You see, that's the whole thing. People don't realize the baptizers here. They're falling back on the baptism. See, we're not falling back on the baptism. Brother Branham said you're baptized with the Holy Ghost 1,000 times a day, Pentecostal style, and still be lost. We're not talking about that. We're talking about genuine presence of Almighty God, the baptizer himself here. Do you realize the baptizer himself baptized Paul with himself and then came down and met him face to face? Of course, he knocked him down before he came and met him face to face in the desert Arabia. Just the same as Peter had seen God face to face. Brother Branham, you're looking at me, aren't you? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. People don't want to realize it. All these things, the same as Jesus turned water into wine. And Brother Branham said, he just simply bypassed the rootage, which was normally the turning into a grape, the water from the soil into the grape, and the grape into wine. He just bypassed it. See, the Holy Spirit does these things. Don't get mixed up in your thinking. Don't call things of the devil that aren't of the devil. Actually, there's nothing that is not of God. Let's face it. All power, all authority is of God. And that's what we're going to talk about again tonight, how he gave that to the devil, and the devil abused it. And how it's being abused right today in the church. I want to get these things all caught up to you. All right, now listen. He said right here, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now let's get the context. What verse 1? Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And Paul was faithful to what God gave him face to face, word by word. And Brother Branham was too. But with me it's a very small thing I should be judged of you of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. You know what he's trying to tell you there? He's trying to tell you plain simple what he's been telling all along in Corinthians. I am vindicated. Anybody could say, well, I never got this by myself. I got this from God. So did Joe Smith, the Mormons. Four wagon loads of sheer idiocy. Baloney. Might as well call their book of Moroni, but the book of Baloney for all I care. Because it's the same junk. Tell the Mormons that and they're offended. But the Mormons are revisionists. When they get smacked in the face with the true history of Mormonism, they duck. And they throw you out of the church. And if we're in a church and proclaiming the truth as it is today, vindicated by William Branham, who is a duplicate of Paul, they kick us out. Thank God we got out. We heard the voice. For I know nothing of myself. Yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. He said, God judge you. Now watch. You see, this man is talking of his stewardship. I'm accountable to God. And God's holding me accountable. And I'm right now being held accountable by God. Isn't that what he's saying? If he's saying something different, I'd like to know what he's saying. He's talking about his stewardship. Or the mysteries of God, the word of God given to him. He's got to be faithful to it. And he's judged by God. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Well, he's telling you right there, you better take what I said based on vindication as carte blanche, and wait till the end time. We'll see who's right. That's who you're standing with. If you're standing with Paul, you're standing with God. If you're standing with William Branham, you're standing with God. I don't care what anybody says. He's vindicated. How much do we want anyway? Hey, years ago, a girl said to me, Lee, there's one thing I like about you. I said, what's that? I knew it wasn't my big nose. She said, because you're always so enthusiastic. Even a person gives you an ice cream cone, you're appreciative and you're enthusiastic. Well, if I was enthusiastic then about an ice cream cone, what about this? This is the end time open door to the millennium, brother and sister, whether people know or not. Now, he says here, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsel of men's hearts, then every man shall have praise of God. That happened under William Branham. In Hebrews 4:12, right? Oh, thank you. Let's get some big amens going. I'm accused of you people being dead because I made you dead. Let's have a hallelujah march and get real blessed to God tonight. Amen. Whoop her up. I don't care what you do. Just don't mess my tape up. So let me read it for you. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing asunder soul and spirit, and the joint and marrow, and the discerning of thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. When? At the end time. I don't know about you guys, I'm so happy I could do a little dance. And the camera would catch me, then they'd say, look at that crazy Lee there. I mustn't get too happy. Now, and these things, brethren, have I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Oh, I speak in tongues. I prophesy. I've done this and I've done that. Look at me. And away it goes, Frankie, way back in the days gone by. Hey, the big BG stuff strutted his stuff and he was 100 million miles off the word, even in sin and adultery and everything else. Wish I could see, Ben. I could see what reaction I'm getting on your face, and maybe it's just as good I can't see too well. Yeah. Oh, a guy in Africa just said, oh, he said, who is this guy Ernie Bailey? He ain't nothing from nowhere in Lee Vale. What's he ever done? Why, he said, I've raised 3 people from the dead. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. I put it 3 times, he's a liar. You know why? No man can raise the dead. Only God can raise the dead. And if you take the power of God and the things of God and use it against God, you're in the devil's pew, not in God's pew. Let's not kid ourselves, brother, sister. You want to challenge me? I'll take your challenge any day of the week. I don't care where you're born, where you come from. Let's get word for it. I'm not finished yet. We'll be 2 hours here tonight, sorry to say. I hope not. Well, let's keep reading. Why do you glory? I thought we gloried in God. Even the Old Testament's full of that. Now you're full, now you're rich. You've reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also reign with you. Paul didn't have any trouble knowing he was reigning. God reigning in him. These guys puffed up were coming against him. They always come against authority. And don't you for 1 minute think they won't. If the devil came against God... The devil came against God. God's supreme being of creation. Well, look at him. He came against God. Don't think for 1 minute these little tiddlywinks are afraid to come against God. They're not afraid to speak evil of those in authority or dignities, anything else. For I think that God has sent forth us apostles, Lazarus appointed to death. We made a spectacle unto the world and to angels unto men. We're fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We're weak, but you're strong. You're honorable. We're despised. He's saying right on, thoroughly vindicated by God himself. As William Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? And they say, ha ha, boy, puffed up bunch of birds. God tell me, but I got the Holy Ghost because I spoke in tongues. What about this fellow's church in Montreal? I told you many times about him. It could have been Dr. Smith. Dr. Cliff went there, a linguist. PhD, no, doctor of science. Knew 5 or 7 different languages. He heard 5 people speaking in tongues. 3, I could have the figures reversed. I'm not quite sure. It could have been 3 cursing God horribly and 2 praising God beautifully. And everybody, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. No wonder Brother Branham said, don't you dare have gifts in the church until first of all you got someone with the gift of discerning of spirits. And all saying that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues. I don't think you people ever read Dr. Cliff's book or heard him on tape. I did. I wish I'd admit him. You talk about a ministry? He believed in the communion of saints, which is fellowshipping with dead people. Yet in Canada, he had people praying on the hour every noon and morning and night. 3 times they prayed. And he had thousands of healings and thousands of so-called conversions. Think it over. Come on. I want you. Now we're through laughing and we're through being a little bit riotous and want to run around. Now we're getting right down to the cold, sober, somber facts. What about it? Stewardship. Stewardship, responsibility. Outside the framework of God, stewardship is condemnation and utter destruction, which I'll show you later. What is meant to be unto edification and commendation and to the glory of Almighty God, to take the very tools that God gave us and Himself apart and tear down the structure of the kingdom of God. You think it's not being done? Come on, brother, sister. We're not ignorant. We're stupid who believe otherwise. We're fools for Christ's sake. You're a strong soul. Even at the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We're naked and buffeted. Have no certain dwelling place. And these guys all did. Laboring, work of their own hands. We're vile. We bless. Persecuted, we suffer. Defamed, we entreat. Made the filth of the world. The offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you. But as my beloved sons, I warn you, look out. You're being taught wrong about God and the things of God. You're being led astray. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. That's how we come this end time through Brother Branham, the vindicated man. Therefore I beseech you, be followers of me. And write down verse 13. But some of you now are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I'll come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. In other words, he's going to stand right there and challenge and bring forth your vindication. Come on now. Once more there was going to be a Mount Carmel. Once more the gauntlet would be cast down. Let the fire fall. See who gets answered by God. See who is on God's side. Let's find out whether you're of Baal or whether you're of God. Hey, we had the same kind of man. This man, Paul, was a regular Elijah. William Branham was the real Elijah, because this man had his own office right there. not categorized with Elijah. But he had a showdown right there. They didn't take him up. Brother Branham in India, they didn't take him up on it. About 500,000 people saw the man with just eye sockets. The sun had burnt him out worshiping the sun god. Come on, he said, pray in the name of your God, give this man his eyes. Nobody did. He said, what about if I pray in the name of my God? And the man had eyes. He saw perfectly. And they grabbed William Branham, recognizing what? That God was in that man. And all the people of America didn't recognize God. Yes, Jehovah Elohim was in William Branham. You're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Oh, now we can start running and jumping again. See, I feel real good. You know why? Because I don't have to talk about Lee Dale. I say one thing about Lee Dale, raising the dead or killing anybody. What's the difference? What if I raise the dead or kill somebody? What's the difference? What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? I'm not a vindicated prophet. Let's get this message down. Pat! That's why I have them come to me and say, Brother Dale, I've heard preachers preach for 15 years, but they're the first time having heard you, I understand vindication. Where are they coming from? I want to know. You're not coming to the same place I'm coming from. I can tell you that. Okay. Counted must be faithful to be a steward. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Let's hear a little bit more about this thing. 3-8. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly, not to think. Look at that again. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everyone has something from God, dealt by God. You've got it, I've got it, we all got it. That's basic. Brother Branham put that in the statue of perfect man from Peter. What is it, 2 Peter, 1st chapter? Who knows? 2 Peter, it's in Peter, don't worry, he wrote it. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Gifts by grace. Whether prophecy does prophesy according to the proportion. Now we got the proportion of faith, not just faith, a proportion of faith. So therefore, if I have a gift of prophecy, I don't have to worry. It's going to come out of me because I've got exactly what is necessary to bring it forth. And it'll come forth and it's of God. Why? Because the gift is of God and the faith is of God and I'm of God. That's three in one. What more do you want? Well, let's keep reading. Or on ministry. Let us wait in the ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. I'm trying to show you that every single person in the body of Christ is interrelated. Every single one has a measure of faith, even a proportion of faith. Everyone has some status. Everyone has some gift. Everyone is pertinent.
Oh, bless God. You just talk in tongues, but I can interpret. I'm greater than you.
You're a liar. In a measure of the word. But how do you know you're really interpreting? Brother Branham put it down to the real nitty-gritty. He said, you speak in tongues, someone interprets, and the thing must come to pass because he equated it to prophecy the way Paul did. Oh, I don't see it that way. Well, of course you don't. Your eyes are blinded. You don't see the scripture. Now, let's stick with this. See, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. It's just hard in the devil, I hope. Or he that exhorteth in exhortation, he that giveth. Now, watch. Giving is a gift. Do it with simplicity. Ruling is a gift. Be diligent. Show mercy. Do it with cheerfulness. Irenaeus quickly said, there are hundreds of gifts in the body of Christ, and this proves it because it doesn't enumerate. It actually is suggesting. And the reason I use the word suggesting is because I believe there's many, many more things could have been said by Paul. But he said enough to let you know. The fivefold ministry is in here. The nine supernatural gifts are in here. And there's a lot of other things in here, such as being merciful. And that's in the Bible. We should show mercy and even turn the other cheek and everything else. And he's putting it all down as something which God has given us individually. Something real, something precious. Something that's complementary to the head, even God himself. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. And in verse 12, it says, for even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now then, we're putting in a proper focus. If I do anything for self-aggrandizement, or if I even do anything, and I say, Lord, I'm looking to you because I want to be a fine Christian. I want to be a gifted person, Lord. I want to manifest, Lord, that I have something from you. Even that is wrong. Lord, use me to help somebody. Now, you're getting somewhere. Give me that which helps me to lift somebody up. We're having too much fun putting people down. Why should we ask any God to help us to put somebody up? It's a good question. Well, let's stop here and go back to the beginning, back to heaven itself. We go back to heaven itself. I've taken you back there before, but I'm going to do it again with a little more insight. And in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, 13 and 18, it says, thou, this is concerning Satan, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and so on and so on. And it says, and the pipes, and of thy pipes was the tablets of thy pipes prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thus walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. That's where you could maybe get that. They thought Brother Branham said that Satan was a cherub. Him, there was one over the, one of the cherubs over the Ark of the Covenant, over the mercy seat. If Paul, I don't know. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity is found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, you filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I'll cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God, and will destroy thee, that's eventually, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I'll cast thee to the ground, lay thee before kings, and so on in there. All right. Now, you notice that Satan here had a stewardship. And he had a multiplicity of good things from God in order to
be able to work out his stewardship to the satisfaction of God in the entire assembly. Because the Bible said, if one suffers, all suffer. If one rejoices, all rejoice. So therefore, he had a ministry before God in the heavens that encompassed everything in the program and the kingdom of God. It had to be that way. That's all there is to it. Because he was perfect. And everything was set in order. And he had abundance of attributes like you simply could not believe. Now, in verse 15, it says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created. And that's exactly true. He was perfect in his ways from the days he created. And notice what he had. He said he had wisdom. He had brightness. He had beauty. He sealed up the sum of wisdom, perfect in beauty. He had this tremendous priestly garment like the ephod, only it wasn't that. He had a position, anointed cherub that covered it. He was set that way in the holy mountain of God. He was allowed to walk up and down in the perfections that God had created there. Beautiful city, no doubt, whatever it was. And he was perfect in all his ways. In other words, there wasn't one thing that God gave him that wasn't absolutely perfect. Now, it has to be that way because you're dealing with God in perfection. All things are pure in heart to the pure in God. All things are pure in heart to the children of God and those that are pure in heart. All things are pure to the pure in heart. And then there's other verses of scripture that bear out the fact that all things are of God and there's nothing evil in itself. No way did God make things evil in themselves. It's what they did with it. And you'll notice what happened was by reason of the mind and the power to think and reason. The word imaginings in the Bible is not imagine, although that's true. It's an imaging that you shouldn't be doing. It means to reason. And the reasoning is they begin to look at things and say, oh my, this being this and that being that. Hey, if I put that together, this would happen here. And if I did this over here, I'd have a consequence over here. And ha ha, that's what I'm looking at is this consequence. See? And that's what the devil did. And the Bible said he had all these perfections here and everything was very wonderful and everything was in divine order until iniquity, which means the perverting of the word was found in thee. So now if he had every single thing here, which was 100% exactly right, there is nothing there in itself that can be perverted. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing there that can be perverted. Then it's what you do with it and how you do it. That brings a perversion. You follow me? That's what you're looking at. Now keep that in mind when we go into further lessons. And we'll go into further lessons on the daily walk and life of our stewardship. And when I'm through preaching, I hope, in spite of all my failures, all my wrongdoings, and everything that's bad about me, someone will take up the challenge and walk in the light. For my generation, I have failed. As in the Exodus, I hope someone can take up the challenge. Like a Joshua and Caleb and walk right into the kingdom of God while others stand outside. So it couldn't have been anything wrong, basically, with what the individual was and what he had from God. It's what he began to think of and do with what was there according to himself and apart from the Most High. Because that's what he says right here. You were perfect. He had to be. Until you began perverting the word. And that's why Brother Branham brought out what Larkin brought out. You don't violate the word by resting it. You don't apply it over here when it belongs over here and so on. You got to be careful. Well, Satan did that. Till iniquity was found in thee. Now watch what happens to this guy. We go over here to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And I'm going to show you he's accountable for what he did. And it says right here, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are to be tormented day and night forever and ever. See, you're responsible. Very responsible, so am I. Now, let's go. I read here Ezekiel 28 and 15, iniquity is found in thee. Then later, we don't know how much later, I don't have any idea, but in Ezekiel 28 and 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And you know what he went down there as? The same bird he was in the beginning, leading in the worship, talking about God. You don't think he was? Come on. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the ephod, the office of a priest. Here he was, leading in worship. The high priest entered once a year with blood. Is that right? You couldn't get to God without the high priest. Here he's almost a high priest. He's in the garden. He hasn't forgotten who he was. He hasn't changed one little bit. So what's he going to do when he comes down? Come on, simple as ABC, what's he going to do? Pervert the word. Well, come on. What do you expect him to do? He's not going to come down and kill him. He's not going to come down and do anything but lead him in the worship of God. Huh? Well, come on. Can you see it all fall in pressure? Brother Branham said, forget politics. Forget communism. Forget fascism. Forget everything. It's religion. All right. What does Malachi Martin say? And he's one of the main mouthpieces of the Pope. He said, politics have failed. There's no statesman left. There's nothing left. Nowhere. He said, the church has to step in and take over. Right, Brian? That's exactly what he said. And that's exactly what's going to be happening. The Jews went to the Pope. Reagan went to the Pope. He and the Pope knocked down communism in Poland. That's what they say. Hogwash. Does Satan cast out Satan? Put that in writing on the tape. That shows my abject. What would you call it? Despising of this stuff that people try to put out? Come on. God did it in the fullness of time. Because he's been working on Satan to bring him down. And is he going to bring him down before it's all over? See? Now, thou wast in Eden. Let's go back to where he was in Eden. Third chapter of the book of Genesis tells you all about it. That's the fellow who was in Eden. Now, what did Jesus say? I and my Father are one. He that seeth me seeth the Father. How come therefore you say, show us the Father? He said, William Branham, what did he mean? He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? All right, let's apply this to the devil. Huh? Huh? Oh, come on, don't. Come on, get with me and get your brains moving. Jesus said, I have chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. Who were they looking at? Judas. Then were they seeing the devil? Okay. When Eve looked at the beast, who was she seeing? The devil. Oh, I don't think so, Brother Bill. Well, hey, your thoughts aren't as good as mine. I'll stick with mine. You think what you want. I'm not really interested because I'm telling you the truth. So I've been puzzling this, and it just broke to me now because this I had to have a break. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. A subtle beast? Ha! Come on. Come on, face it. A subtle beast, my foot. Who was the brightest star in the kingdom of God with wisdom and honor and glory? The cherubim called Satan or Lucifer, son of the morning. So who is the wise bird here? And where does he get his wisdom? He's getting it from Satan. He's the smartest in the field, the Lord made. He said to the woman, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the trees in the midst of the garden, God has said, shall not eat of it, lest you, and nor touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. Aha! He is now interpreting the word to this woman. So what is he? He's now a teacher. But you can't have a single teacher anywhere under high heaven until first there's a prophet. Prophets got to be first, apostles and teachers. So here's this devil, acting the high priest, acting the prophet, acting Jesus Christ, acting God, do what you want to call it, the Son and God. Wouldn't matter what, he's down there in the full panoply. He's all of it. Now, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant in the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, you notice that this woman here, she wanted that fruit because she wanted to be wise. And that's what the devil offered her, was this wisdom. This wisdom is the beginning of what? Now, Gnosticism. Gnosticism. Right here. He knew something she didn't know. He knew something that God didn't tell. So he has a better and a further revelation. He knows more than Adam or anybody. And he doesn't deny God. Oh, no, 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 he doesn't deny God. He even knows that there is a God. He's a theist from the ground up. So he is the first Gnostic. So now, am I right when I teach Gnosticism to be the thing you got to worry about, or am I wrong? So the whole world's in Gnosticism. Muhammad had a better one. Confucius had a better one. Buddha had a better one. The Mormons had a better one. Joe Smith, Mary Baker Eddy had a better one. Mrs. White had a better one. Everybody had a better one, and I don't want one of the better ones. I want one of the old ones, because it's the best one. Because everyone is Gnosticism. Remember, Rome entered into Gnosticism, and there isn't one church that didn't come out of Rome. Or the Baptists try to tell you they came from John the Baptist. If that's the case, that's the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. Poor old Dr. Carroll, he died. How that poor old fella could believe that kind of nonsense more than I know. The eyes were both open. They knew they were naked. See, they got a knowledge, all right. Then they got very practical. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. But you know, all their righteousness fadeth as a leaf. There's your first fading leaf. That's why I can't stand faded clothes that come fresh from the manufacturer when you've got these stone bleached, or whatever you call them, garments. Mine has no bleached spots on it. I don't want even a thought of it. I know my typing isn't too great, but it's better than most people, so I won't worry about it. Satan lied in Genesis 3 and 4. Thou shalt not surely die. But notice, and be very, very careful here that you don't run with this and make some foolish mistake, because I want you to know he evidently did not lie in Genesis 3 and 5 when he said, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, and your eyes shall be open. Because what did God say in Genesis 3 and 22? And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become a one of us to know good and evil. So now the devil tells one lie, and he doesn't tell another lie. Oh, he's slick. Hey, Isn't that the way marriage and these women are fooled and all these stupid women, and they get a guy, one, he tells her a lie, and he tells her the truth, and he tells her a lie, and he tells her the truth, and she shakes back and forth. She got a lie, she got the truth, she got a lie, she got the truth. But, oh, I love him because now he's got to be some good because he told me the truth. So he beats you up, knocks you down, gets drunk, and violates you, but I love him. You've got to be sick. If we got any sisters like that here, please come and consult with me and Brother John. And we'll see if we can shake the living daylights out of you and get some good daylights in you. We'll do something. I don't know how we're going to do it. But you need help. Because you're under the devil, and that's the way the church is. They're under the devils. Oh, they tell the truth and they tell some lie. You know what the devil did way back there? He used one scripture, and then he used another scripture. Because, you see, he knew scripture that they didn't even know yet. Oh, yeah. And he twisted it. And he's still doing it. Do you know the rapture doctrine came out in an Irvingite meeting where a woman on the floor speaking in tongues, interpreting a dark room, told about the mysterious rapture to take place, the secret rapture? And everybody fell for it. And I was very critical when Brother Branham preached that rapture, you know, the way he got the saints going in up before the tribulation. I hit pretty hard. And I said, well, Brother Branham, what about this woman saying so-and-so? He said, I don't care who said it, where it was said. It's the truth. The devil came right along here in the beginning, and he fed her a lie, and he fed her the truth. He changed one word, made a lie, and he gave the truth, but the truth turned into a lie, and that's what the Bible said they do. They turn the truth into a lie. And he did it right here. Oh, yeah. Oh, listen, I think I'm on a real hot trail here. Now, if you like, I just might go over here to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and we just might see something that's really, really interesting to make you to know that the devil hasn't changed in the presence of the Son of God manifest in flesh and God in him manifesting through his flesh. For it says right here in the 4th chapter, and Jesus was an hungered, the devil came to him to tempt him. And it tells you, he said, if the tempter said that's the devil, Satan, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now you see, the fact of the matter is that Jesus later on said, God can raise up of these stones children Abraham. So the devil was on solid ground. And he said, hey, you can turn this into bread. Go ahead and do it. And Jesus said, it's also, it's written here over here. Jesus used the word right. The devil takes the holy city, sets him on the temple, said, thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down as written. He should give his angel charge concerning thee, and bear thee up and so on, lest thou dash the foot against the stone. And Jesus said, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. People used to say to me, Brother Branham said, I said, hold it. But Brother Branham also said, oh, they love me. They said, Brother Bailey, you're the best guy in the world. Oh, did they? Ha, ha, ha. When I ducked my head in the sand, they filled me so full of buckshot, I didn't dare look up in case they blew my head off. The Spirit of God, brother, sister, never changes. It is also written. It is also written. It is also written. Thou shalt obey the laws of the land. Yet one man, he said, polygamy's fine, but he wouldn't go and get papers from the authority. Say, I'm going to be polygamous because I believe in my God to make me polygamous. So therefore, what did he do? He had a mock ceremony. And his wife had to sit by because the poor thing was destitute. And I see these preachers marrying women, divorcing wives, and they got to be nice because the poor women are destitute, having borne their children. Having loved them and provided, cast them aside like a dirty thing. You women that are preparing to get married, you make sure you marry a man of God and know he is, or you will get what's coming to you. And I'll laugh at you, and you men the same way. I've seen women right before me and other preachers lie before God when they had the vow. They knew they didn't care for a vow. The vow was never there. That marriage has to be illegal as far as I'm concerned. Except Brother Branham did say you made a vow. Then where does it leave the woman? She made a vow. She better do something about it. Yeah, he just shifted the word of God around any way he wanted it. See, that's what he did. Now, Brother Branham said, one word off is Satan's kingdom. But Satan did the same thing to the bride. Look what he did to the bride in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, which I read many, many times to you. And he said, I'm jealous that God did jealous of his spouse, you to one husband. Oh, one husband, hallelujah. And how can you be married to Mr. Baptist and Mr. Presbyterian, Mr. Methodist and Mr. this and Mr. that? And be married to Mr. Jesus Christ. I want to know. Spouse in one husband. I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear as many means as the serpent beguiled thee through his subtlety. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. You either come and preach another Jesus and so on and so on. So there he was, doing the same thing. Now let's go to verses 13 to 16. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They weren't transformed by God as you and I are transformed. And we're already transformed if we're in the body of Christ, and each one of us members of each other. And each one of us with a position in Christ and a part in Christ, and everyone with some kind of a ministry. With the prophet and the fivefold over it all. Not because I'm a fivefold, forget it.
But at least I know to whom I'm responsible and I try to fill my job. And believe me, I don't get this from God. I mean from the devil. How could I get it from the devil and go against the devil like I'm doing? No marvel, Satan is transformed into angel light. There is no great thing, therefore it's no great thing that these ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness whose end shall be according to their works. Now listen. Remember, the righteous act of Abel was shedding the blood that God said, you shed the blood. The evil act was where Cain would not shed the blood, but brought the first fruit or the fruit offering, denying that he was serpent seed. Denying that he was different. He said, I'm the same as Abel. Look what I'm doing. So they'll come in here and take you right off of that word. That's what they're supposed to do. Now listen, if one word off then is Satan's kingdom, what about those verses over there in Revelation, the third chapter about the Laodicean church that's wretched, miserable, naked, and blind? See? What about them? Where do they stand today? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. And just take a look at that. And in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and in the fourth verse, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, if the eyes are blind, that's bad. What if the minds are blind? What if the minds have all those veils upon it and they can't see the things of Almighty God, see? Now, putting this in a clearer light, we saw Satan, a religious spiritual being, a cherubim leading in worship, but getting out of order, getting off the word, perverting it, yet unchanging as to his being according to creation, and then creation going astray. You see, he couldn't change being what he is. That's why he still will lead in worship and still attempt to exalt himself above God and will almost get to doing it, and he will in his own church, which is false. We saw him in Eden in Genesis 3. We saw him in the bride church in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Now we go to Acts 1, 15 to 20. Now you notice I'm sewing up for you everything you need to know about the two spirits, about worship, what is going on. And you'll get what is a very dynamic understanding when I read to you, beginning in the 15th verse of first Acts 1. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names being 120,
Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. In other words, he was spoken of as the one who had betrayed Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now, he was not a part of them, but he had a part of the ministry. Did you hear what I said? He was not a part of them. He was not a part of God. But he had a part of the very same ministry they had. So therefore, everything Judas had was really fine and dandy. It was good. It was clean. It was ordained and produced by God. But he defiled it. He used it wrong. Iniquity was in him. He perverted it. This is what we are looking at in stewardship that I have found as I studied the subject to bring us to the what I consider the definitive understanding now what Brother Branham taught concerning the serpent. So you're getting tonight, whether you want to know it or not, a lot of the trail of the serpent. And it's a religious trail. It's a trail of every good thing that God, who is perfect, made perfect things and is perverted by usage. Perverted with a wrong understanding, a wrong desire to a wrong end. Now let's go to Acts 5 just for a little bit here. And we might see something interesting how far this can go. And it's 1-5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? See, there comes a time when you tip your hand as to who you are. I don't care what you have as gifts or anything else. When it comes to the Word, you're going to have to deny it. There's no way you'll go along with it. There's no way. You've got to come to the place where Paul was. If you're a prophet or full of the Holy Ghost, you will take everything I say and superimpose it upon what you believe. So all yours is blotted out and all you got is mine. Well, hallelujah, Jesus, that's what I want with William Branham, I can tell you right now. That's all I want. Anybody can have anything he wants, gifts or anything else, raise the dead. It doesn't matter to me. Satan is building a Christian-era church. That's a New Testament church. Even as he built a pre-Christian-era church or the Old Testament church. And what we saw in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 16, that's about the false apostles and so on, is now a vast church in earth as compared to the true church of Galatians 4, verse 19 to chapter 5, 1 to 26. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing because our time has gone from us. But here's what we look at, beginning at verse 9. My little children, verse 19, of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written. Now, Paul goes right to the Word. Check everything with the Word. Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the one by a free woman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Absolutely. But he of the free woman was born by promise. She had to get young again, and so did he, or there was no way to have Isaac. So how are we ever going to get Jesus Christ in the honeymoon, the wedding supper, unless we're young again? You can't bring him back in flesh until the flesh is turned. You can't do it. Says right here, can't do it. Now, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. And this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, that's Mount Zion, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it's written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. In other words, rejoice, there's just a few of you, one of you, and there's a whole bunch out there. A million more in 54. Billions more in 94. Win the whole world for God. Hallelujah. 8 people make the ark. Don't be stupid. We're going to have 2 billion make the ark. Got it all figured out. Yep. Oh, yeah, they got all figured out. Proof text salvation. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. Isaac was the children of promise. But as then he that was born after flesh persecuted him born after spirit, even so it's now. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And what did Brother Branham preach on? The shuck will not be heir with the seed. Because the true church comes out of that defiled, miserable, old, rotten church. They're a coming out church. See? Now, we could read all the rest of this, but I don't have time, and I want you to read that fifth chapter, and in there, you will see what's in the church of Satan in the world, and what's in the church of Jesus Christ in a great measure, but we've got to go on to other scripture. Now remember, New Jerusalem is from above, but Satan's church is from below. Now let's see how James parallels what Paul said in James chapter 3, 1 to 18. Brethren, be not many teachers, not masters, but the teachers, because the teacher takes mastery. Because the teacher in the schoolroom is a master. That's like Galatians speaks of the tutor. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, this same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn around their whole body. Also ships and so on, where the little helm takes it where the governor wants to go. Even so, the tongue of a little member boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so the tongue among many members that defiles the whole body sets on fire the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. Come on, now that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. That is the dumbest thing I heard in all my life. If James is not talking about what Paul and Jesus spoke about, which is the word of the devil and the false prophets and the false people. Huh? Oh, come on. Come on. I don't care how vile your language is and what you're saying. I don't care about Joe Stalin and all the rest of those buzzards. There's nothing they ever said or will say that's going to do this. Come on. You're giving yourself too much credit, you little feller down there in your corner. Just because you got a wicked, rotten tongue worse than mine. Come on. For every kind of beast of birds and serpents, things the sea has tamed, have been tamed of mankind, for the tongue can no man tame. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Well, is that a fact? Let's go a little further. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed a blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, and it isn't so. In a certain group of people. There's a certain group of people who don't have one bit of trouble with this. Does the fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Now watch. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either of vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt and fresh water? Who is a wise man and due to knowledge among you? Who's the guy that can get away from all this stuff and be the right guy, the wise man? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife at hearts, and glory not, and lie not against the truth. For this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So there's a bunch of people getting all of this stuff from the devil. Just like Eve got it. For wherever envy and strife is, there is confusion, every evil work. He's saying what Paul said in Corinthians. He's got a Corinthian church here. He's got a 20th century Laodicean church here. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Sure, there's no partiality. Sure, there's no hypocrisy. It comes straight from God. Vindicated. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. Okay, that's just part of it. Let's go now to Matthew 7. I want to find something here. I want this whole Bible to line up, not just a few scriptures going to run with and pervert. People perverted James. Even poor old brother Luther couldn't understand James. He called it the straw book. Straw book, my foot. It's the legitimate book in the Bible. Okay. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Do men get figs off of grapevines and grapes off of fig trees? What James says. Huh? Now can James say different from Jesus? Oh, he can't do that. He claims he's Jesus' brother. Oh, yeah. Now, if he's the scribe, is he going to quote God wrong? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Who's he talking about? Prophets. What do prophets use? They use their mouth. And if they're vindicated, they got the mouth of God. And if they're not vindicated, you could have trouble listening to them. You better be careful. Mouths. Brother Branham was the voice of God. So he was the mouth of God. Now he says a good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. A corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is not good fruit is hewn down, cast the fire. Well, certainly, that's where they're going to the lake of fire. Whereby their fruits you shall know them. Whether they're on the vindicated word or not. These people are all messed up that preach this any different way. Soon as Brother Branham began to really let his hair down and teach the Word of God, he said he's going to come back to Matthew 7, and you watch. He's going to change the teaching of the people on this scripture right here. It is not going to be fruit. It's got to go back to the Word. He took it right back to the Word. He said, Brother Bill, that makes you a very smart person. No, I'm just full of the Holy Ghost. What do you expect? Well, come on, what do you expect of the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm talking tongues. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I wouldn't take a chance. You could end up in hell. You could get a gift from God, abuse it, and have a lean soul and go to hell. Come on, brother, sister. Get with the Word. See? Not every man that says, Lord, Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, he is the Jerusalem of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, he cast on devils and done so and so. Depart, I never knew you. You that work iniquity. You that perverted the Word. You had the gifts, you had everything. You're just like Satan. God said, you think I made Satan imperfect? I told you I made him perfect. Beauty, wisdom, office, embellishments. He had it. He got puffed up. Now James talks about puffed up. Paul talks about puffed up. Who got puffed up? The devil got puffed up. What are we looking at? Religion. We're looking at stewardship. Huh? And the church are stewards. The Methodist church is a steward. The Baptist church is a steward. They all talk about God. They're all stewards. What's going to happen? Alright. Now listen. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, like a wise man built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the house couldn't fall. Then he said, the stupid man, he built his house upon the sand. Winds came, floods came, the house fell. And they were astonished. Didn't Brother Branham say that a lot of these people that think they have God are going to be astonished in heaven? While the prostitutes, the rest end up in hell and they're not astonished, they knew what was coming to them? Oh, listen, these guys building a house. Paul said, be careful not what you build, but how you build thereon. He said, I've laid the foundation, I gave you the Word, now be careful how you use it, everything in the Word within the Word, the structure, the framework, everything, Word. See, thou make all things and do all things according to the pattern which I showed thee in the mountain, gave you by vindication of 20th century by William Branham, prophet of God, Elijah, Malachi for him. And the people got astonished. Yeah, they were astonished. All right. Okay, just another hour and a half to go. All right, now, so you see the end of the two churches. One sand and gets completely washed out. One's upon the rock, goes to the headstone. Jesus Christ the righteous to the reincarnation and the wedding supper. Now, before we go further, we want to go back to 1 Corinthians 12 where Paul starts setting the church in order. Watch what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 3. And you know what? That's a good place to stop. How many minutes left? None? Five. That's great. See, it's a perfect timing. So I'm making my notes here, and we'll go back and we'll show you. Here. All right, right here, just so that no one is fooled, even particularly me. All right. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time of fellowship around the word which we have. Not, Lord, that my emphasis and my shouting or the fine time I have in my soul means anything particular, but it is your word, Lord, and I trust it has been laid out here just absolutely word upon word and word with word. And Lord, you know, we went to three witnesses tonight, Paul and James and Jesus. We don't even have to go to three. Two was plenty. But Lord, we go to all three and we see it all line up. We see that perfect man. We see the perfect tongue. We see the perfect worship. Everything in divine order. Father, if there's one thing we pray tonight, keep us, O God, in church order, the divine order of the Scripture, lest we stray. So we got looking you for your help tonight, believing we've received it. Breathing, Lord, we shall receive more as we have need thereof. Establish, strengthen in the path of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a part in it here in this church here. Thank you, Lord, we have brethren of the same minds and the same desires. We are fortunate indeed, and we thank you for it, that we have the glorious company of believers that we have, who we believe, Lord, will not be shaken by no matter what anybody says or anybody does. Because we know, Lord, it's already been vindicated. Unto thee, the vindicating, true God, we give honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, I want to read one verse of Scripture for communion service. We won't take too long. But we read a little simple verse here in the book of Galatians. The second chapter, and it's verse 21. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, the big word here is righteousness. Righteousness. And we know that righteousness is a rightness. And it actually, in the long run, would equate to God, who is the Word. And just like if a person, a godly person, it equates to God, what God would be, how he would act, and such. And when you talk about that, there's no way that you and I can possibly ever qualify this as a tie post, unless there's vindication. Because as Paul said, there's no such thing as any gods outside of the true God. But there are spirits, and the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and he does command worship, he does put into the hearts of people evil things, and he does pervert the word to people. So, therefore, we know that we have a problem out there with the enemy. And therefore you have Buddhism, you have Taoism, Confucianism, you have all types of Mohammedans, the Jains and the Shiites and the Hezbollahs. And there's every time you turn around, there's a new bunch that say they're the ones that surely are absolutely dedicated to Muhammad. And then you see them taking the sword and killing people and rioting and doing every stupid thing that Muhammad said they shouldn't do. And then you get some women come over here and they're wearing their clothes properly and they're all covered up and they're kind of peeping, you know, I think their faces are uncovered. And they're saying, oh, we're the ones that have perfect freedom. Muhammad gave us perfect freedom. We can go to medical school. We can go on the street. We can do this. We can do that. And we cover our bodies so the men don't lust after us. We keep in our physique. Oh, they tell a good story and they're a bunch of liars. I want to ask you a question. Allah, what God is Allah? Perhaps what I've read, Allah, they took the name of a heathen god, a devil. So they wanted to believe in one God. Now they try to tell you that Abraham was going to sacrifice Ishmael and not Isaac. And now they find in the caves of Qumran, it's supposed to be now, they got a new translation on Abraham. And when Abraham was supposed to have heard the voice of God to offer up his son, no, really it's the same as when the devil went before God and said, now look at Job. Let me just touch his skin and you watch, I'll curse you in his face. So the devil had a confrontation with God over Abraham. And God said, okay, go ahead and test him and see if he'll give his son. Boom, you talk about. And you know what? I bet millions of people believe that. They would believe that. So when it comes right down to righteousness, righteousness would have to have some kind of a definition that whereby we can make an application so we know whether we're in or we're out. And John tells us that, the same as Paul tells us. John said the righteous act was Abel's act. The evil act was Cain's act. And because Cain's act was evil, whereby he worshiped God with a convoluted, misinterpreted, and mispositioned word, he hated Abel because Abel had a right. One wrongly divided, one rightly divided. See? And that's what Paul brings out. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And so Cain offered wrong, and he was wrong, because he wasn't one with the word. And remember, Brother Branham always, always, always said, concerning Christ, concerning Elohim, and he is the word. Because you cannot get anything definitive. You can't get anything definitive outside of God telling you himself through some method that he can prove to you that he's talking to give you the truth. And when you receive that truth and you walk in that light, well, you have righteousness. Now, how was this made available to us? That's my verse of scripture. I do not frustrate the grace of God. To frustrate means to get in its way, to cause an impediment whereby grace cannot come through. You stop it. You're frustrated. Grace is trying to get to you. God's trying to give his free gift. Move freely. Something gets in the way and just sometimes little kids screaming in church and everything else. I was in a home one time. I never went back and I never would because this grandma let her kids spoil everything. I couldn't even pray yet. She wanted me to come by. I only came by, but never again. And I never listened to the guy that wanted me to go by and see his sister again. So you go by yourself, forget it. You're going to let kids frustrate a minister with the word of God to lift you up? Go away. Let's face it. Speaking in tongues in church frustrated Brother Branham. Jumping up and down, frustrated. Kept from coming through. He went so far as to say, oh, she had fresh manna, you've got old manna. Nobody knew she talked in tongues correctly. She might have been the devil anointing her. It might have been God, I don't know. They didn't know either. In New York, the job pulled my wife apart. There was a girl in the church. She suddenly felt impelled by spirit. She literally jumped over the pews, and she fell in the aisle somewhere and spluttering around. My wife and her said, dear, she said, the prophet of God's up there preaching, and people need to hear the word. Now, would you please be quiet? She quietened down, and the Pentecostals were going to take her limb from limb. Allison was just about a martyr for the glory of God. Now listen. Can you believe what I'm telling you? Frustrate the grace of God. Frustrate. You know what the Bible says? It says the little fly maketh the apothecary's ointment to stink. And a very wise Bible teacher commented, and he said, you'll notice, it doesn't say the dead horse in the slough. Teeny weeny gnat. Frustrate. Now watch. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I will let nothing petty, I will let nothing ever, ever, ever hinder that grace from coming through. He said, I can't. And I will tell you why. For righteousness come by the law. If I can get through the writing of the law, which nobody ever did, could ever get what we have now, if they could get it, then Christ died in vain. His death was gratuitous, which means he literally committed suicide. It was for nothing. It was for naught. It was just a gesture. So, my thoughts on communion tonight, or my thought is this. Don't ever, ever disbelieve or deny or in any way minimize or frustrate the blood of Christ. It opened the door to the Word so that you and I can walk in the light before the Holy Ghost as dear children of God. If it weren't for that blood, we wouldn't be where we are tonight, because it's by the blood we are made nigh. How nigh were we made to God by the blood? I shook his hands many times. Now don't go ahead and say, well, Lee Vail says that Brother Branham is God, because you're a liar. William Branham wasn't God. But God was in the man when I shook his hand and hugged him and he hugged me. And one day he jumped behind the door and landed on my back. God landed on my back in a figure. In a figure. And we hugged, we loved each other. He called me his bosom friend. And I loved him more than anyone outside of my wife. And I would have died for him if had Bill watched for my wife. But I'm glad to give my life for you. And I'd have done it with joy. Would have been fine. I wish I could have done it. I wouldn't have been here tonight. All these years I'd have been away on the other side of glory. The Lord didn't take it. But you see tonight, the blood, what the blood's done, the blood, if it weren't for the blood of Jesus Christ, the covering our sins, the remission of our sins so the Holy Ghost could come in, we would not be the righteous people we are today. And Paul said, if I put anything in the way of this which God has procured by the blood, and remember the blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant, and a covenant specifies words of agreement, then thank God for the blood. Do not sell it short. And when you take communion tonight, thank God it was this shed blood that brought you and I and gave you the right to witness. I'm righteous with the righteousness of God, the same as Abel and Moses and David and Paul and all the saints of God. Let's rise at this time. The brethren come forward so we can pray. And then you know how to come around the side there. Remember, there's two plates. There's one plate for the bread and there's two plates for the wine, so you can come on either side. And your passage is, it doesn't much matter tonight whether you go down the outside or middle wall, but it's really better to go on the outside wall there, and Lloyd will help you leading in the song service. So the brethren are here. So just keep in mind what we said now. This is the emblem of that shed blood. How marvelous. Heavenly Father, we would consecrate, dedicate these emblems to you, and every single person taking realize that this is the blood of the covenant. This is the blood shed for us. This is that which brought us nigh to God to allow us to receive the blessed Holy Spirit, the baptism, the great teacher, to give us that word so that we are not only righteous with the righteousness of God himself by his Spirit, but we walk in righteousness and do righteous things as a righteous people through grace, and it will not be frustrated, we trust, by any of us tonight. Unto you we give glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The brethren and sisters can start coming from the side now. Just come right away.